I am Plato on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The author and poet Gillian Wigmore joins me now. Her debut novella is to be published shortly, Grayling. It was a finalist for Mother Tongue Publishing's first Great BC Novel Contest, set amidst the Dease River in northwestern British Columbia. Jay sets out to canoe and fish. He's joined by a mysterious stranger. I'll get Ms. Wigmore to fill in the rest. I'll ask her to tell us about the characters and this book, the part of the world that it's set, and what she set out to illuminate about this time and place. Gillian Wigmore is the author of three books of poetry, Orient, Soft Geography, and Dirt of Ages. Her work has been published in numerous magazines and has been shortlisted for the Dorothy Livesey Poetry Prize, among other notable awards. She lives in Prince George, British Columbia, where she joins me from today. The book will be launched this Thursday, the 3rd of April, at Russell Books in Victoria, as well as this Saturday, the 5th of April, at the Railway Club here in Vancouver. There's an event in Prince George on September the 12th of April. Visit mothertonguepublishing.com to buy the book, and for more information, as well as Gillian's own website at gillianwigmore.wordpress.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Gillian Wigmore. Ms. Wigmore, good morning.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're taping this on a Sunday afternoon. You have a day job and I have an evening job, if you will. So this time worked out for us in terms of connecting. I'm assuming that your job is unrelated to writing, is it?
Well, yes and no. I work in a library. I coordinate a branch of the public library.
Ah, okay. So I'm assuming you don't get time to write in that capacity.
No, I don't. No. Sadly. I'd love to be the writer in residence there.
Yeah. So did you always write growing up even?
I did, yeah. It was always something I pursued. I'm a big reader, so mm-hmm. It was pretty natural to transition to writing.
And this is your first work of fiction, a novella,
mm-hmm.
which I'm assuming people listening to said that just means shorter novel, right?
It does.
Yeah. So poetry, I guess that's where people first got to know you, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. The transition from, say, poetry to fiction, one assumes as a writer that's the same thing. It's not, right?
It's not. It was tricky to try and write fiction because I've always worked so small. But I think I did something smart for myself by starting with a novella because there are a few more constraints. It is shorter, like you said, and there can't be extraneous words, and that's true of poetry as well.
Yeah, I've only read about a quarter of your book, and it's really tight. Like, I mean, there's nothing wasted in terms of words and the sort.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I said, I've read about a quarter of it, and even, I don't know, maybe 10 pages in, or less than that, I sort of got an idea about what Jay was about.
Pardon me?
I got an idea of what Jay was about just a few pages in.
Yeah, he's not meant to be complex at the beginning, so we find out a lot more about him at the end. But we never get to know him super well, and we never become totally comfortable with his character, because I think he's not totally comfortable with his character.
What is he, in his early 30s?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so what's he like?
He's struggling. He's had a brush with death. He had his health scare, and I think he's gone to the wilderness to try and redefine himself. I don't think he likes the version of himself that he knew, and he's busy looking for another version.
And is he a sort of outdoorsy sort of guy to begin with, or?
Not really. Like, it's surprising that he would go off by himself into the wilderness. But I think this is a common thing that people feel when they want a big change. They head for the wilds, and I think he's pretty human that way.
And so he goes canoeing, is that right?
That's true, yeah. I don't think he's necessarily very wise to do that, because it's a thing, canoeing and long wilderness trips. They take a lot of skill. But it's a certain kind of bravado that sends him out there.
And to do it alone, I would assume, takes a certain level of stupidity if you're not really a wilderness guy, right?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't do it.
Yeah. You have gone canoeing before, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're big canoeists. We spend at least a week on the water every summer, and then plus all the short trips we do.
It does take a lot of skill. I mean, and you're not really supposed to do it alone.
Yeah.
In and around Prince George, where you lived, is that where you do it, or?
We do a lot up here. We also do ocean canoe trips in the summer down on Vancouver Island and the west coast of BC. There's a lot of prep that goes into it, and it does take a lot of wilderness skill, you know, just even preparing meals in the wilderness, but also navigating and finding our way. I think Jay chooses the most simple thing he can figure, which is to get on a river that isn't too hard or isn't said to be too hard, and then get off, which is the way a lot of people start. As long as there are no major rapids, you're pretty safe. And so you don't get eaten by a bear.
Yeah, and that's up at Dease Lake, right?
Yeah, just the Dease River flows from Dease Lake.
So for people listening to us that might, to orient them, if you will, that's up by, I guess, the northwestern part of the province. That's close to the border to the Yukon, right?
Yes, exactly. It flows in, the Dease River flows into the Liard River eventually, and then that flows into the Yukon.
Yeah. Did you spend much time up there?
We paddled the Dease River in 2007 with our kids and another family with kids, and it was such an extraordinary landscape. It was wonderful to situate a book there because it meant that I could go back there in my mind and revisit our photos and our journals. It's such a beautiful place.
Yeah, and it's something that I've lived in Vancouver my whole life, haven't traveled anywhere very much in the province, so it's not an area I'm familiar with, nor do we see books set in that part of the world, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true, and you know, that's something I've always wanted to rectify. It doesn't make sense to me that we know more about the landscape of New York City than we do about the landscape in our own province. We have the opportunity of this place, and I would love it if my work could bring it to the forefront and just show people where we are, what we have to offer. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a big place, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to drive for days to get to the Dease River. My brother comes down to visit from Whitehorse to Prince George, and Prince George is halfway up the province, and he has to drive for 2 days to get here. It's enormous.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous at the same time, isn't it?
It is gorgeous and terrifying. I think Jay experiences a fair bit of terror on the trip, but you should experience that so that you respect it and that you go in carefully and well prepared.
The mysterious stranger that he encounters is Julie. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
So what happens to Jay that she comes into the story?
Jay gets really cold. He lets himself get hypothermic, and that's a mistake of inexperience. And so he gets off the river when he sees some cabins, and then there is this woman there. And she talks her way onto the trip, which is not what he intended, but it changes his experience enormously, as it would. But it also sort of makes it safer in a way. He's not on his own, but it makes for a different story.
And do we know much about her? I mean, I guess we will know more about her as the book progresses, right?
Yeah, you do learn about her as she reveals herself to him. Everything is from his perspective. It's a close perspective to his. So you don't ever learn too much, but you can't help when you're on a trip like that but learn each other a little bit better. You have strange conversations on multi-day trips.
Yeah. How are you in terms of when you're traveling on the road like that for days?
Pardon me?
How are you when you're traveling on the road for days? I mean, do you find that experience fun?
I love it. I love it. But it's funny how your moods go on the river or on the ocean when you're on a multi-day trip. The first few days, I'm really tense because I don't want anyone to die. And the second few days, I start to relax. And then by the end of it, I never want to leave. It's where I would like to live out my life. And then coming back to reality is always a bit tough.
Yeah, and I'm assuming when you're driving, you've got a family with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you've got to split the driving time and all that, right?
Yeah.
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 And
when we're traveling by canoe, we have two canoes, so we each have a kid in our boat. And it's a wonderful way to travel because you can travel alongside one another, but you end up having really great conversations in the boat. It's a nice place to grow your kids up.
Yeah. And how do they find the tedium of road trips and the sort?
Road trips, they amuse themselves by reading, but canoe trips, I don't think they experience the tedium so much. They settle into it, and they do a lot of reading. They do some fishing, but a lot of it is talking. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, does it get, when we hear of canoeing and sort of rapids and the swiftness of the current and the sort, do you get much of that at all as well?
We make a lot of choices that make that not really a possibility. I don't want to do huge rapids with the kids. or myself, really. I did a bit of time as a raft guide, and the rapids were never my favorite part. Yeah. So we choose water where we're not in peril all the time. We are there for the experience of the trip rather than the thrills of those whitewater moments. Other families are different. Some people really love that stuff, but I would rather be looking around rather than fearing for my life.
Yeah, you'll forgive these questions about canoeing, because it's something that I've never done nor have the inclination to do, but I'm still interested nonetheless.
Oh, it's a treat to talk about it. Yeah. It's something that I love doing.
So you've got there's two of you, and then there's a kid with each of you. And then, so how much time would you spend in the water? And how far would you get go out, you know?
Depending on the trip. If we're on a river, like we did the Crooked River last summer, and it was a lot of paddling. So we had 3 days. We had to get 75 kilometers, so we were doing big miles every day. But when we're on our summer trips, when we're on the water for 7 to 10 days, we don't usually spend more time on the water than 2 to 4 hours. There's so much time to be spent exploring and setting up camp and finding things and walking. We do a lot of, it's more like a holiday if you don't spend too much time going from place to place. But it does depend on the landscape. If we're on an ocean trip and we have some crossings to do or some miles to make, we will have longer days in the boat. But then we make up for it with rest days. And so we'll stay in the same camp, and we will have day excursions or just lie on the beach. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. This book was a finalist for the Great BC Novel. And it's been described elsewhere as profound Canadiana. It certainly represents our province. What do you think it says about BC? I mean, did you set out to write a book? I mean, you did say earlier that you wanted to showcase the part of the world that this book is set in.
Mm-hmm. I'm also writing what I know, too. I couldn't write a realistic book about a great big city because I haven't spent a lot of time in Toronto or Montreal. But it is important to me that I could show this place and create a story that was realistic in an environment that maybe wasn't known by everyone. And it was really neat for me to be noticed by the Great BC Novel and Novella Contest, because it is such a specific landscape, and it's, I hope, a pretty universal story. I know that when people get sick and get scared, they do try to change their lives once they get well. And this is that kind of story, although it does have some elements of change in it too. The character doesn't have a lot of control over his environment then, and he can't help but have a great big new experience.
And you live in Prince George, and the book is set up north. These aren't areas that generally we see represented in, say, the books about BC. I mean, I talk to authors who live on the island or on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
This is something new, I guess, and sort of a welcome addition to say the literature on this part of the world, right?
I hope so. I think a huge part of that is population, more people live on the south coast down in Vancouver than they do up here. We do have a really vibrant writing community. There are people writing about these communities. Sheila Peters and Smithers have been writing about her community for years, and it's extraordinary and inspiring. You know, Eden Robinson's Monkey Beach is set in Kitimat, which is in northern BC, and it feels like I'm writing into a new tradition, but there are books that I feel like my book could be a companion to.
Well, when you come down here to Vancouver, as I'm sure you do from time to time, does it feel like a different world altogether? I mean, it's one country, it's one province, but I'm wondering if, because I haven't been up there, is it a different sort of pace of life, a different sort of society?
It is and it isn't. You know, I think Northerners are actually really lucky because we learn to live in both environments. So many people take that one-hour flight to Vancouver and enjoy the things that Vancouver has to offer, but we also are able to live in this smaller city and make our way. It's lovely for me to come down there, but it is a relief in a way to be up here. It is very, I don't know, it feels like a wide open possibility up here. We can live a bit better. You know, I'll own my own house in my lifetime, pretty soon, in fact, and that's not something that people in Vancouver can say. I do feel very lucky to live up here because we do have a lot of freedom. We've got so many beautiful places to visit, but we've also got the possibility of the city only an hour away.
Does it feel mysterious at all? Because, like I've, as I said, I've lived in Vancouver my whole life. I've looked at its history from time to time, so I think I know it. The landscape's mm-hmm. familiar. Up there, I mean, it must seem different. I mean, did you get a different feeling about where you are?
It does. You know, it feels like it's all potential for me. There's so much to be discovered, and because there isn't massive established literature, it feels like there's space for me to make my own. It doesn't feel like it's an unlived-in space, though, because we have such a long history of First Nations lives going on here that it feels like there's a lot to learn, for sure. But it also feels like there's a lot of space to do my learning and my writing in. I feel really lucky.
Yeah. It must be great, I mean, because I'm not a writer, and I don't read very much fiction, to be a writer of fiction and to explore your place, your history, through your writing.
Absolutely. It's so much fun. It's so exciting. It's very much like poetry. You know, I go downstairs to my little office and I don't know where my brain is going to take me. And that is so much fun. And I'm absolutely all about self-pleasure when I'm first starting to write. I want to write a story that I want to read, and I enjoy writing. So it's kind of like a little gift to myself to give myself an hour at the computer and just go for it.
And do you find that you learn a lot about BC in the process?
Yeah, absolutely. I learn a lot about what I noticed and didn't know that I'd noticed, especially in this piece of fiction, because I went back to that landscape and I realized that I had noted what the trees were and what the grasses were and what the smells were, and I remembered how ferociously we were attacked by black flies and mosquitoes, how relentless that was. And it's kind of a neat exploration of my own mind. It's like, oh, that happened, and I can make this from it.
What we're consumed with in Vancouver at the moment is the sort of threat of change, old houses being torn down and the sort.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that on the internet.
How
is the sort of landscape changing up there? Is there an urgency perhaps to how that'll be in years to come? I mean, do you feel the same sort of malaise that some of us in this part of the world feel?
I think we have a different malaise, but we do feel that same sort of anxiety about a change in the landscape. A few years ago, we were massive change happened because of the pine beetle.
Uh-huh.
They logged in our green belts, and all of a sudden we could see into our neighbors' houses. The whole city of Prince George changed dramatically then. Some people got a lot richer, and some people lost a lot in terms of changes in the landscape. As far as architecture is concerned, Prince George is kind of a slapdash place. So the places that we have that are over 100 years old are they're definitely not the same as some of the houses in Vancouver that are the same age. They're not built with the same sort of thought to posterity. And so some of the places that come down are more of a cultural or emotional attachment. Some of the hotels downtown came down and that was a big change. The downtown is changing here, and hopefully it's for the better. Hopefully more people can get down there to use it, but it definitely looks different, and it definitely has a different feel to it. It's really interesting to talk about that stuff.
Were you born in Prince George?
No, I was born an hour west of here in Vanderhoof, but I spent 5 years on Vancouver Island going to UVic, and I've lived in Kelowna and Fort St. James, which is in north central BC too. We've been 11 years now in Prince George.
And from talking to you in the last few minutes or so, it seems like it's not a place that you'd leave anytime soon.
No, there's so much to recommend it. We talk about it, you know, because I said I would move here for 5 years, period.
Uh-huh.
And that's obviously gone on a little bit longer. It's really hard to go I don't know where else we would go. It's really good here.
Yeah.
The kids have great schools. We both have good jobs. I can write from here.
Are there good used bookstores there?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. See, I'm a bit of a kick on that. I've gone to Victoria twice, and Portland and Bellingham and Seattle, just for used book shopping. And so I've thought, you know, I guess they've got some good shops up in Kelowna and Kamloops and the sort. And
yeah, they do. Yeah, Prince George has a couple of used bookstores. We've got a fantastic privately owned bookstore called Books and Company that also hosts readings and has music and a lovely cafe. So there's book culture up here, which is important.
Yeah. Is that where the launch is on the 12th?
No, the 12th is at a little pub called Nancy O's, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so as you launch this book, as you'll do in Victoria and Vancouver this week and then Prince George the week after, I guess one of the goals is to really showcase Northwestern BC through this book, right?
It is, yeah. It's an opportunity to speak my own words. I really, really love readings because it is the sort of one chance you get to say it in your own voice and represent it with yourself before people take it off and read it by themselves. I love doing public readings.
I read somewhere that you studied with Jack Hodgins.
I did, yeah, and then he was my editor on this book. He's such a treat.
Yeah, what's it like to read someone growing up, say, to learn from them, and then to work with them with your own work?
Oh, I feel so lucky. Jack is such a fountain of knowledge. He's such a careful reader. It's a little alarming at the same time because I give him this very slim little novel and get masses and masses of pages of notes back, and then I'd have to rewrite. We went back and forth about 7 or 8 times on the edits of this book, which is a lot of work, especially when I wrote it fairly quickly, so the time that Jack and I spent on it definitely improved it. But it was really neat to have read him as a young person and then have been in his classes as a little bit older person and then to come back at the age I am now and get to work with him closely. It's been such a treat.
And the process working with Mona at Mother Tongue, I mean, what was that like?
Oh, lovely. She's been really helpful all along the way and so supportive, so encouraging about this work, too, because I think there can be a blind spot from people in the South and on the coast where there's so much going on. You forget that there's the great big rest of the province, but Mona has been fantastic for encouraging me, for promoting this book, and for showing it to the world and believing in it. It's been really helpful.
What's next for you? Will you continue writing fiction?
Yes, absolutely. I've got a novel on the go right now. I'm just doing some edits on that, and we'll see where it takes me. It feels like this is a great platform to dive from.
Where is it set, the novel?
North Central BC.
Yeah. Well, good luck with this book, and we'll await the next novel with great interest because you've given us a view onto a world that, for me at least, is unfamiliar, but certainly, well, I don't know if I'd go canoeing anytime soon, but I certainly want to see it, though, and I think I've seen some of it through your writing thus far.
I hope you do, and thank you very much.
The websites for more, jillianwigmore.wordpress.com, mothertonguepublishing.com, as well, information on the events can be had on the website. I guess the event here in Vancouver is on Saturday the 5th of April at the Railway Club, Thursday the 3rd at Russell Books in Victoria, and then Prince George on the 12th of April. The book is called Grayling. It's from Mother Tongue Publishing. Its author, Jillian Wigmore, joined me on the line from Prince George in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.